Welcome to the Carol Reiberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Well, hello, and thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, Medical Intuitive Carol Reiberger, and today I've got a very special guest and also a fellow Hay House author, Rebecca Linder Hensey. She's the author of Healing Your Family History. When I read this book, it's like this is a must-have book for everybody's bookshelf to try to understand all of the family of origin that we have going on, the dynamics of it, how to be able to heal it. It's exquisitely written, very, very simple. So I was really excited when Rebecca said that she had loved to come on the show. And because May is Mother's Day, we're going to be celebrating mothers all month. And so when I contacted Rebecca, I says, what do we want to talk about? And she said, we're going to talk about the powerful role that mothers have in healing their family. And I thought, what a perfect topic for this being Mother's Day. So I'm going to tell you a little bit more about her. I had a pleasure of meeting her via another friend through Hay House. And when I talked to Rebecca, you know how you just talk to certain people and it's like kindred souls? Well, this is the way I felt about her. Rebecca's a lifestyles coach and an emotional wellness counselor. She's a former broadcast journalist and frequently lectures and leads workshops in cities throughout the United States on topics such as healing your family history, strengthening relationships, something we could all really work on at this point in time, and then also resolving marital conflict, another topic I think we could all use at this time. But again, when I went into the book, the subtitle of her book is Five Steps to Break Free of Destructive Patterns. And I find, as a medical intuitive, so much of what I see in the energy field and then also in the outcome as far as aches and pains or physical ailments in the body has family of origin attached to it. And a lot of the things that we experience at a very, very young, tender age, that impressionable time where we're all being emotionally imprinted. And then we spend so much of our life trying to figure out what it is, why it happened, and then what can we do to change it. So again, when she was referred to me and her book came to me, I thought, oh my goodness, this is a must for everybody. So Rebecca, thanks for joining me today. I'm very excited to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you, Carol. It's so nice, all the nice things that you've said. I absolutely love you and love your work, and we have to give a round of applause for your wonderful book, Healing Happens With Your Help, because I felt the same way about your book when I read yours. So wonderful work you're doing, Carol. Thank you.
Well, my pleasure, my pleasure. So, you know, one of the things, Rebecca, that I find so often in the work that I do is I find people seem to struggle so much with their relationships with their mothers. And I always share with them that the gift that your mother gave you is she gifted you with a lot of her own emotional work that she was doing, or her own emotional traumas and sometimes fears. And people always respond, well, that's really great. But really it is, because it is part of the motivation, I find, for us to move forward and to create our own personal growth process and to really discover ourselves. And when I share that information, and I'll say to people, you know, when you wake up one day and you go, oh my gosh, I'm becoming my mother, you really are, but you're growing beyond her, aren't you?
Well, you are, and it's interesting to talk about this right now. This year, I've had my mother move in with me. And I'm also the mother of five children. I have a daughter just leaving for college. So I'm feeling this from the middle, you know, where I'm watching myself, you know, being my mother, most definitely, with all these teenagers by house, and living with my mother and going through the emotions of remembering my life with her and the good things I learned from her and the things I've wanted to change. And then watching my daughter grow in the midst of all of this with her own personality, and then feeling the pulling away that she's doing at her age. So, wow, it's an interesting dynamic with lots of pieces and parts for growth. You know, good things, wonderful gifts that we gain, but also opportunities that we have, like you said, to grow into our own person despite that initial important relationship.
Well, and, you know, and I find that really that it's the emotions that we have buried deep down inside, that when we actually, at some point in time, it's almost like we recognize this really isn't ours. And then we can step back and look at things very differently and look at our mother and look at the role that she plays. I mean, here you are, you know, like you say, being caught in the middle of being, you know, now the care kind of giver, caretaker for your mother and cheerleader for your mother. And you have a wonderful e-zine, Pretty Sisters. I absolutely love it. I'm going to have you talk about that more a little bit later in the show. But it's so important that the gifts that our mothers give us and that we change, and then the gifts we give our daughters and what they change, it's like it's really breaking this primordial pattern of behavior and kind of expectations. And I know in your book you mentioned that when there's a change, it goes through 12 generations. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, I think the statistic you're referring to, which is so powerful and important to mention, and it's just a statistic that I put together in the first pages of the book, just showing the powerful impact of that we have as parents. That is, if two people marry and have three children, and those three children marry and have three children, and the pattern of marrying and bearing three children continues for 12 generations, the total number descending from the original couple is a staggering 3,188,643 people. So, I mean, that's huge, you know, to think that we might have an imprint on that many people in the future. And while we don't know that all of our patterns roll through necessarily for 12 generations, we can think that if they did, or suppose that if they did, that the changes that we made within ourselves or within our initial relationships could potentially impact millions of people down the road. We most certainly know it lasts at least for, you know, a number of generations. So anything, boy, when you start to think of influencing hundreds or thousands of people through personal change, it gets exciting at the impact you can have.
Well, and it does. And, you know, the thing is that so much of our consciousness is that, you know, we have to find that kind of, you know, excuse the pun, mother of all things that we have to change. But what you're really saying, and what I love so much in the book, is that we can change something that may be very subtle, but the impact that it's going to have for, you know, generation to generation and our relationship with our mother and our relationship with ourselves is so impactful for so long term. And, you know, I found that very exciting because it doesn't even, for me, it didn't even imply that it has to be a major life changing process, but something that could just be maybe a shifting of the perception of way that we see something or the way that we interact with our mother or our daughters or in our relationships.
Well, and I love what you're saying, Carol, because I do feel that it's the subtle shift, and I'd love to hear your perception from a medical intuitive side, that seems like those subtle shifts are often the most powerful shifts as well, of letting go of fears, letting go, like you said, of false perceptions. While it seems like a simple and easy thing to do internally, and you know, you and I both know sometimes it isn't as simple as it seems, but when that step is made and that shift occurs, big things can result from small changes.
Well, and absolutely, and, you know, being able to really see us from that energetic perspective as I do, when we get into that process and we look at ourselves and we look at our interactions from a energetic standpoint, we really realize that there are no barriers, that, you know, we're a group of souls that grace this earth all with the same desire, and that desire is to heal and to heal through love. And, you know, one simple thought change or one simple behavioral change, and it could be something as simple as, you know, just shifting your perception. So many times in the work I do, people will say, you know, my mother gifted me with all of these terrible things and I can't stand her and I don't want to be around her. And when I work with someone, I have the pleasure of saying, you know what? She was doing the best she could. Mm. And at the time, what she did was truly a gift for you to have a choice. Do you want to follow in that path or do you want to change it? And from the world of energy, one simple, subtle shift to perception, there's no limitations. It literally is like this you know, dropping a pebble in a pool of water, and it just ripples and ripples. And then pretty soon, by the time it gets to the outer rings, it's huge, the changes.
I love what you're saying. And this is what I hope and the listeners are really catching on to, is that the changes that we want to see in our family really begin with inside ourselves and our that initial marriage relationship. If you're working with a spouse, we can't deny the impact that our partners have on our children and our posterity as well, because there's an equal part there. But even healing in the relationship can happen just by going within yourself first.
Exactly. And again, you know, realizing that all of this interaction is a dance. And sometimes I'll say to people, you know, sometimes it's like a Viennese waltz. It's just eloquent and, I mean, exquisite and smooth and flowing. And other times, man, it's like the rumba.
Yeah.
but what we do is we can go in, and you're right, and it starts in that marital standpoint and recognizing that, you know, people may not be trying to make our life miserable. They may just see things differently.
Boy, and that's often hard for us to do, isn't it, to understand?
Oh, it is, and especially, like you say, with, you know, when our mothers move in with us and we find that, you know, we become their caregivers and their cheerleaders and everything, and we just see them through such a different light than we did. And I'll always say to people, you know, if you could have, you know, a day or two with your mother in that role, it would shift the entire perception, and then that healing really, really does take place. So it's very, very exciting. So let's see, with Mother's Day, any kind of insight as far as, you know, the marital part is so important, but the role with the mother is so important. And I don't know if all listeners, I know that there's so many people that I touch, but I don't know if all listeners really understand that the mother's desire is to keep her family together.
Well, and to nurture. That is the instinct that most women have, and they come by it intuitively. You see that when you're a mother and have little girls and then little boys, and they just come differently. The little girls wanting to nurture the babies and baby dolls and so forth. And women are like that. We desire to nurture. We desire to care for. We're more sensitive. We are, in fact, my husband was just telling, I have three sons, and he was giving them the father lecture saying, women are just different than you. And he said, you might as well learn it now, because one day you'll have your own daughters, or you'll have a wife, you know, or whatever, and you're going to need to know how to understand that sensitive side of women. If I were to offer some thoughts for women to ponder in helping us to become better women, and I can take my own advice too, and that is to strengthen a sense of self, have a stronger sense of who you are, and really let that be authentic. Get in touch with who you are and know who you are and love who you are. I find that women who are able to do that are able to leave an imprint of strengthening self-esteem within their children. And we're not talking vanity, as you know, Carol. That doesn't matter. You know, that's not a part of the world we want to dance in. We're talking about loving self, knowing our inner self. And I would suspect that has a great impact on our health, would it not, Carol?
Oh, absolutely, because really that's the only way that I find as a medical intuitive to break free of the perceptions or the line of thinking or the patterns of behavior from your family origin, is to be able to go through the process of discovering those little gems about yourself and then taking those. It's kind of when I was in the near-death transition time, I learned so much about not only me but about life, and about how all of the experience we have are literally just that. They're not good experiences or bad experiences. It's the judgment, the emotion we place on it. And if we place just negative judgments on things, then what occurs is ultimately it affects the body. One of the things I find, Rebecca, and it kind of leads into what you were talking about, is that I find as women, we're so nurtured and so conditioned to always put other people's emotional needs before our own. And as a result, I really believe in some ways early on, we lose touch with us.
I would agree, and I would agree that with that on a personal level too. I know that I was the oldest of five children, And I grew with a great, in fact, I come from a line of very nurturing women. So my instinct and the way I had been taught was to put others' needs ahead of my own. And in many ways, it was a wonderful blessing to me because I've been able to experience the joy of service, and I work in a field that's service-oriented. So it's easy for me to love others and to get into their needs and to know what they need. But as a mother, I did so much for my children, and as they have grown older, one of the shifts I've needed to make to be a better parent is to let them be more responsible and accountable for themselves, and to not be so there and ready to pick up the pieces for them, and to bring that into balance for my own self and sanity and for theirs as well, to raise responsible children. And so, yes, that is such a balancing act we do as mothers and women. We start out, you know, really giving our entire body to a baby, really.
Exactly.
And our sleep hours and you know, everything. It's just an amazing experience to bring a baby into the world. And then we grow to separate from them and allow them to fly out of the nest. I'm doing that right now. I'm watching my daughter graduate this year, and you know, in some ways I'm excited for her to leave, and other ways I'm going to fall apart when she's gone. And I'm sure my mother probably felt the same when I left. It's such an amazing dynamic that we go through. But back to your point, which is so important, I think the better we know ourselves and the better we love ourselves and the better boundaries we have, the healthier we are. And the greater self-esteem we are able to teach others how to have that, at least our children and our families.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of what you're saying, and a key point that I find in the work I do, is it's figuring out how to set those boundaries. Because, you know, when we carry the child and we connect with them at that soul-to-soul level, and that's really what it is, and we share it at a level that is really difficult to even put into words. And then we watch them grow. And like you say, we would like all of our children to be have enough freedom and enough sense of self that they would be able to tackle the challenges of life and be able to accomplish what they desire. But it is such a fine line. There's that part that we take such care of them, and then they become these unruly little teenagers, and then that's part of the separation. I'll talk to people. When your children turn to that rebellious nature, what they're doing is they're just going in and sorting their conditioning, or my thoughts as a mother from her thoughts. I have a daughter that, oh my gosh, Rebecca, she just turned 40, and I asked her the other day, honey, how did this happen? And you know what she said to me? She said, Mom, you're getting old. And I thought, no, that's the wrong answer. We don't want that one. But when you know, you see them and they start to leave home, and you get that, you know, that really is true, like you know in your work, that empty nest syndrome, we have to, as women and as mothers, go through and do our own self-discovery, don't we?
Yes, and I'm starting to see the power of keeping that relationship together, that marriage relationship together as well. My husband and I took off for this last week, and it was our 20th wedding anniversary, and we had the weekend to ourselves, and I thought about this empty nest concept. Now, I'm not there. My youngest is 11, so I'm still in this for a while. But I can start to see the picture, you know, over the next 7 years, my kids will all leave, and we'll go from having this insanely crazy house with five teenagers down to, you know, nobody at home. And I thought, wow, I really need to continue to put the time into the marriage. Now, I've done that all along, but I can see even a greater value in that, because when they are gone, that relationship will be the relationship that's left to work with, besides, of course, our relationship with ourselves. But that marriage relationship after raising a family would, to me, and Carol, you've done this, be a very significant part of our happiness if we're able to manage to keep that together over all the years.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I find that, again, we get so wrapped up, you know, our husbands or our partners get so wrapped up in just everyday life and the providing and the protecting, and as women, the caretaking and the providing and the protecting, whatever roles we have. And it's very easy to lose that connection. But I think that if we can just, I know when I talk to people, I'll say to them, you know, when was the last time you had a date weekend with your husband? Or something like that, or your wife, and just sat down and, you know, didn't have the time commitments and didn't have the distractions, and just kept that connection. Where are your dreams still real? Do they need to change? I think that connection is so important to our children after they leave, because I think in many ways it's what really creates that individuality and that healthiness around relationships. Instead of just a mom and dad that are doing their roles while our kids are growing up, then they can see us as friends, or they can see us as two individuals really working to keep things together, or really working to try to find those dreams that maybe got lost. And I think that that changes so much of children and the healing of when they were young by watching us. Do you agree?
Well, I do, and I most definitely do, and I can see that the more that, I, you know, intellectually, I know a lot of things when you go through and have to live them, you know, it changes. And although I've been taught a lot about marriage therapy and have done it over the years, the longer I married, the more I learned just through experience, and I would underscore everything that you've just said. I think children, a lot of the issues that children have, and you know, and I love what John Bradshaw says about families. He defines a dysfunctional family as any family with more than one person living in it. And so that really reaches out to all of us, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
You know, and I have to laugh because as much as I've worked in this field, I look at my own family and I live through many of the problems that I hear about from my clients, because it's just the nature of the beast, you know. We're all imperfect people trying to live together and get along. And there is an evolution that happens in marriage. And if you're on it, I don't think the dysfunction comes in having the problems, but the dysfunction comes in the way you deal with the problems
Absolutely.
That you have. And
Absolutely.
When you can be aware of them and have a healthy self-awareness and a desire to see the truth, and you keep working through them, over the years you will find tremendous success and healing in your home. And even if you made some huge mistakes when your kids were young, but you're still on the ball and you're still looking to move forward and you still want to make those positive changes, over time it will all work itself out. I really believe that, and I've seen it happen. The problems that don't seem to get better are the ones with people and families where there are obstinate people who just don't want to see the problem or make any changes. Do you see that, Carol?
Oh, absolutely. And that, you know, we misinterpret, that's what I find, is that so often we misinterpret based on an emotional judgment what happened when we were younger, and it builds on itself. And what we do is we can either hang on to that misinterpretation, and we can hang on to the angst or the anger around it, or we can blame or judge other people. I mean, we're all human. To kind of paraphrase what you said, I heard the same thing, is anytime you have a relationship with anyone other than yourself, there's bound to be dysfunction.
Well, and let's just say that isn't there dysfunction sometimes even in the relationship with ourselves?
Well, absolutely. And that's, I always say that. I said, you know, my gosh, you know, looking at personality or just going in, and my world is a yellow personality, I will say to people, you know, I don't even need anybody else for the dysfunction. I can just find it within myself. But again, we can take that and realize that that's the situation, or what we can do is we can move beyond it. And I spend a lot of time, as I'm sure you do, and the work that you do, is talking about forgiveness. And, you know, forgiveness isn't about forgetting. It's about removing that emotional charge. And if we want to hang on to the anger, so be it. But I know Edgar Casey said that, you know, if we hang on to the anger, it's like drinking poison on a daily basis, and eventually it will cause us harm.
Well, and let me just say, I see clients often who don't want to deal with their anger, and those people often hide that anger and almost out of a fear of, if they have to see it or find it, then they're afraid of the pain. And yet, if they don't see it and find it, if they don't work through it, then they live in the pain. And you can never really quite suppress it enough. You know, it pops up somewhere, be it in the form of a relationship or an addiction or a health issue. It creeps back up to get you. And it's just easier, so much easier and healthier to just be honest about what's lying at the deeper levels of ourselves up front and get that healing, get that love, get that peace coming in so that we don't have to live in what we're trying to hide ourselves from.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the anger, I mean, it's one thing to be angry with someone else, and that certainly over the course of time will show up in the form of aches or pains, as I see in a medical intuitive. But when we take that anger and somewhere it becomes skewed in our thinking or perception to where we become angry with ourselves, now we really start eating at ourselves. And I always, you know, I always say to people, we aren't born in anger. We are not angry people. We're people that get angry. And if we could remember that, it's easier to deal with it. I know I find so often that I'll be doing work with someone and that anger will come up in their field and I'll say, oh, well, anger just came up. And they'll go, Carol, I'm not angry. And I said, okay, so are you just a little miffed? And I said, well, yeah, I'm a little miffed, and, you know, I'm kind of ticked off, and, you know, I'm a little frustrated. And I said, okay, keep going. And then they'll say, you know, and I really do have a lot of resentment, and, you know, there's probably more frustration. And pretty soon they get in, and I'll say to them, you're angry, aren't you? And they'll go, I really am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I will say to them, congratulations, you've touched it. But I
so believe, why do you feel that, now here I'm flipping the interview, but I want to know from your perception, Carol, why do you feel like anger is one that is so stuff like that? Because I see the same thing. Why is it anger?
Well, I think that, you know, it goes back, especially let's look at the way we condition, you know, young boys. Don't get angry. Don't hit someone, which we don't want anger to hit someone. But I can remember when I was doing my child psychology internship, we had in preschool, we had one of these clowns that was weighted on the bottom. And every time a child would reach a place where they get frustrated or angry, you know, we would encourage the child to just go over and to punch the clown if they needed to. Now, a lot of people may not agree with that. But what it did is the child would, you know, hit the clown, but they had never really hit it hard. It'd go down and come back up and they'd laugh. Mm-hmm. But I think we're conditioned to see anger as such a negative expression that we just stuff it to the point where it reaches a critical mass.
Mm-hmm.
And if we could find healthy ways to be, like you said, start with boundaries. If somebody or something makes you angry, it's saying to someone, either that hurt my feelings, or, you know, that doesn't honor me, or that is disrespectful, and I don't want you to do that. But again, I think we're just so conditioned. And I find that if I were to, you know, work with people all over the world, and I find, you know, if we were to look at the Russian culture or the Italian culture, you know, those people just come in, it's like, bah, 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 and they're going on and on and on, and then we're done.
So do you see that? I completely agree with you on all of your points about the cultural influences that we aren't taught in, or are taught in some cultures, that anger is a poor expression. And I have friends in Italy, and I've watched their family, their interactions are much louder and interactive, and the communication is stronger. You know, perhaps the way we communicate our emotions is so, yes, so key in bringing them forward. Anger is also a secondary emotion. So underneath,
absolutely,
anger is often sadness or fear. And our fears are usually the things that just really get back there. You know, we don't really like to let those fly up to the surface very quickly. And so, you know, perhaps our anger is about that as well, would you say?
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree more, because I will say to people, when you reach a place where you're angry, your soul is saying to you, look at how much time and energy and thought that you've invested in something that isn't serving you well. And so the anger, when it comes to the surface, is it's the soul's way of saying, kind of like a bacterial infection, we've got to get this out. This is poisoning. And bringing it up and finding healthy ways to be able to express that. But you're absolutely right. It's always triggered by a fear.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go in and, you know, kind of going back, I find so often with pulling it back to the mother, and so much of in the neurobiology or molecular biology that we're learning now, we're learning that a lot of the fears are transferred from mother to child. Now, I don't believe that our soul has fear, but I believe that the gift, and I know it sounds crazy, but I believe the gift of experiencing the fears within the womb is it gives us a chance to see our mother different, to see relationships different, to look at love differently. And then when we come into a form, we have the experience to live that change. And if we could shift that perception, I think that we would look at the plight of our mothers and the things that they went through generationally and what they went through with their mothers and the generations. I think that it does it change anything? Probably not, but it does change our perception, doesn't it, Rebecca?
Well, it doesn't when we change our perception. And in a part, we change, well, in reality, we change our reality. We change the way we feel about our present time and even our past. And as you know, that can even change the chemical responses we have in our body.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Well, this is an exciting conversation. If all of you will please stay tuned, Rebecca, the author of Healing Your Family History, is with me today. Her book is available through hayhouse.com. Very exciting. It's also on Amazon, isn't it, Rebecca?
Yes, just about anywhere online, I think you can pick it up.
Very, very good. And so what we're going to do is take a quick commercial break. We're going to be right back. We're going to talk more about celebrating mother and the power of healing and how it's just instinctive in mothers to want to heal their family. And yet, as mothers, sometimes we have a difficult time because they're people in their own right and discovering themselves. So please stay tuned. I'm going to be right back, and so will Rebecca.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Remember, you can podcast or download any or all of the shows right here on ContactTalkRadio.com by visiting each of your favorite hosts' page.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Thank you for joining me. If you are just joining me, I've got Rebecca Linder-Hensey on the line. She's the author of Healing Your Family History, 5 Steps to Break Free of Destructive Patterns. And we're really talking about that, but we're talking about so much more. We're talking about mothers and the roles mothers have and how important it is for us to step back and look at our mothers differently and look at ourselves differently, and that's how we grow. So thanks, Rebecca. It's been I can't believe how quick the first segment went.
Oh, I know. I just love being with you, Carol. So much to talk about.
It is. It's really, really something. So before we left for the commercial break, we were talking about fear and how fear really, I find, and I know that you had said it, and also is that fear really fosters so many of the negative emotions, and the more angry we become, the more our soul is saying to us, look at what needs to change and shift that perception. And, you know, I think that's with a mother, you know, we look at the roles of a mother, and on top of taking care of our children and, you know, being house cleaner and housemaid and, you know, laundry and everything else we do. And then we've got the relationship with our significant other to be able to keep that alive. And then somewhere along the line, we try to find some time for ourselves. And I find so much in the work I do is that I'll say to a woman, I say, what do you do for you? What do you do to self-care? And once they get beyond that deer in headlights look, you know, like, what?
What?
Then it's like, so what do you do? And they go, when? when I don't have the time. But in the healing role of the mother, it has to begin with us, doesn't it?
It does, and time is such a key factor. But, you know, there is time, and if you will just search inside your schedule, you will find time. Time can belittle, it's the little things often that you can do to help yourself. I'm a big believer in exercise, and so that is one key factor I tell mothers to that they must do to help themselves, even if it's just getting outside and walking the dog. Something that involves exercise is always a key factor, and usually that is one of the harder ones to fit into your schedule because it does take more time. But there's always just a few minutes you're waiting at the doctor's office that you have a time that you can just sort of close your eyes and go into your mind and meditate. I have found so many little spots of time waiting for a child at a game or an event at school where I can sort of sit in a car and pick up a book that I carry with me or have an audio book that I listen to. It's in those little spots of time. And, you know, with, as a mother, we get really good at time management. You can squeeze time in for yourself, and you must do it. But beyond the time you take for yourself to do things outside yourself, I think the best time spent is loving yourself, getting to know yourself. And that doesn't always mean you're doing things just for you, but it's knowing what you like and what you want and giving yourself permission to put some things aside to do the things you enjoy. And altogether, that helps you feel so much better.
Oh, it does. And, you know, it really revitalizes us. And it's, you know, especially when your children reach an age as teenagers and you think, oh, my goodness, am I ever going to get through this? You know, not only sane, but just get through it because of that individuality that's coming forward. And it is so important to be able to, you know, like you said, even if walking, walk those toxins off. It, you know, I will say to people, when you go retail therapy, I love retail therapy, but when you're going to do retail therapy and you're going to have to go, whether you're buying jeans or you're buying things for your family, park out as far as you can and walk. And it's amazing. You'll start to notice trees that you hadn't seen in the parking lot. You go every day or different things. All of those things shift the perception, and walking is a wonderful way to detox, and it forces you to breathe and kind of gets you back in touch with yourself. And it doesn't take a lot of time. You're absolutely right.
No, it doesn't. But, I will say, too, that I just had a thought while you were talking, Carol, of probably one of the best things that I have found as a mother to understand about this taking time for yourself. I've seen often women get into a depressed state and receive counsel, do things for themselves, and then they cast aside a lot of the needs of their family to take care of themselves, thinking that's going to help. And there really is a balance in it, isn't there?
There is.
Because sometimes we can cast aside things that we really do need to be doing because it's overwhelming, there are issues there, we don't want to face them, and we can disguise that underneath, I'm taking care of myself. And then that doesn't really work. It does. You don't get the fulfillment that you need from it. So there's a song and dance here where you do have to take responsibility for the issues and to do the right thing, the thing that your spirit, your intuitive self is telling you needs to be done in your home and family, whether it's difficult or not. And then still manage to know yourself and to take time for you and to be able to guide that. I tell mothers, you've got to listen. And this works for parenting across the board anyway, because you've got these individual personalities that need to be handled differently. They aren't all, it's not all in a handbook, as we know. And so probably, aside from knowing and loving yourself, which I mentioned earlier in the program as my number one bit of advice, number two would be listen to yourself, because somewhere in you have the answer of when you need to take time for you and when you need to take time for Susie and Joey and everybody else in the house. There is a happiness and a fulfillment we get as women when we do meet other needs, so we can't deny that we don't get that. You know, it's not all about us, but it's also not all about them, so we have to listen to get those right answers.
Absolutely. And, you know, I find so often with women that I work with at dealing with personality, so many women actually find that self-care time maybe in the kitchen, But maybe it's being in the kitchen and cooking something that just isn't the same meal that you cook every single day, or, you know, on Fridays you do this and on Mondays you do that. But it's just having the pleasure of being able to just do something that may be an everyday task that you really love to do. And if you can do it and learn in the process, that really helps you. And it is a delicate balance, because I have seen this so often with women that will say, you know what, I just want to run away from my family. I just want it to be all about me. And then what they'll do is they just don't feed that part in them. And then they feel guilty. And if they feel guilty, then they feel unhappy. And if they feel unhappy, then they get angry at themselves that they would be that selfish or whatever that may come up. So it is very, very much a delicate balance. But I do believe that the gift that we have as mothers is to be able to see ourselves through the eyes of our children. And I'm going to paraphrase something that I read in the paper, is that, you know, we can measure our success in many, many different ways. We can measure it by, you know, what our children do, or the house that we have, or the cars that we drive, and we can measure success that way. And but I think the real measurement of success as a mother, both emotionally for ourselves and to know that we fulfilled our role, is to listen to what our children tell their friends about us.
Yes.
And, you know, it can be so many times it's like, you know, my mom works so hard and, you know, she's really taught me a lot or whatever it may be. And I think that when we step back and we look at the rewards of life, that's how it's measured. It's measured about the balance. Or I was talking, and when I was on tour this last week, I was talking to a group of young people, and I asked them, I said, you know, what do you see when you see your parents? And I had one young man that was struggling with school and was probably going to be, you know, he was just thinking about dropping out and everything. And I said, what do you see about your parents? And he said, I see two people that work very hard at what they want to get. And Rebecca, when he said that, and I said, hon, look at where you are with school. And look at where you are. It would be easier for you to leave school. But look at your parents. Look at your mother. What does your mother do? And he says, my mother gets up every morning and she takes care of 10 of us.
Wow.
And every morning she does what she needs to do in order to get through the day. And when all of us sit at the dinner table and she asks us what our day was like, all we do is complain. But you know what she always says? She, and I said, oh, no, I mean, I'm on pins and needles.
Yeah.
And said, what does she say? And she said, you know, today was a good day because all of my family is here. Each one of you were doing your own thing, and I got the pleasure of sitting across from you. And I thought, oh, my gosh. See, I'm getting goosebumps just like I did with this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how we learn. That's how we know that we're good parents, or that we've done our job. And again, you know, she spent all of her time cooking. I mean, my gosh, there's not much to do with 10 children.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she could cook and be resentful. Mm-hmm. Or she could cook and find it as a pleasurable experience, and then to watch her family eat. That's what she needed.
Well, I love what you're saying, Carol, because there are, you know, there are a lot of women who have the opportunity to be mothers. And when we take on that job, as we pointed out in that statistic, where we have the effect of potentially having influence over millions of people over the years, it's a huge job we take. As William Ross Wallace said, the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. It's a huge job responsibility, and we can either choose to do it and really get in and do it to the best of our ability. And you pointed out, most of us are doing the very best we can. But just as a push to maybe we step a little bigger and a little wider into those shoes, the more we can do to love ourselves and to heal, the better we will be at being a mother. And it is such an important job, one that I am so grateful, you know, for the women in my life, for the mothers who came through my posterity who, you know, I get those same chills, Carol, who got up every morning and got me where I needed to be and helped me to become the person that I am and taught me the values that I have and cooked my meals and washed my clothes and made sure I had a roof to live in and under and so forth. So much gratitude can be had. And yes, there are many things that, you know, we'd like to change about our mothers and those who came before us, but there's so much to be grateful for. And really, that is the choice we have right here and now to decide that we want to find what's good in our families, in ourselves, and in our lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, it does, you know, I always say to people, there's only one emotion. That emotion is love. When you're not in love, either with yourself or your life or your experiences or something that's going on in your life, then you're in fear. And if we could just remember that, you know, it's difficult to love every single moment, but if we can look for something positive about it and be grateful about it and refocus our attention, there's a different kind of appreciation. And, you know, it does, and it heals, like you said. It's the role of a mother is so important. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I didn't come in with this book of how to do this at all. I just, you know, took what my mother did for me, and I looked at parts that my mother did that, frankly, just didn't match my personality. And I thought, you know, I want to do this differently. And I think that's how this generational change goes on and on and on. I have this, for all of you that are, you know, listening, I just want to go ahead before we have to do a wrap-up. We've got a few more minutes. But I really would encourage you to please go to, I'm going to have Rebecca, I'm going to have you give all the information on how to get in touch with you. But the book is a must on all of your shelves. And it's a must also if you want to give your kids something as they graduate or as they embark on a new part of their life. It's called Healing Your Family History by Rebecca Linder Hensey. And I would encourage this to be a mainstay on your bookshelves. So, Rebecca, how can people get in touch with you? How can they learn more?
Well, they can go to my website. It's RebeccaHensey.com. And let me just spell it. It's R-E-B-E-C-C-A. H-I-N-T-Z-E, looks like hints, but it's Hensey, RebeccaHensey.com, or you can go to PrettySisters.com. That's a business I have with my sisters, but you'll find me there on the homepage as well. And you're welcome to email me also at Rebecca@RebeccaHensey.com. I'd love to hear any questions or thoughts any listeners have. And I wish you all well in healing your family history. It's been a topic that has blessed my family greatly. The looking inside of myself, I share that with you and the steps for doing that in this book, and I hope it works as well for you, all of the listeners out there. And Carol, thank you so much for having me again on your show.
Oh, it is my pleasure. So again, Healing Your Family History by Rebecca Linder Hensey, and you can get the book through HayHouse.com or Amazon.com and many, many different places. And I know that you had mentioned very briefly about the Pretty Sisters e-zine. Oh, my goodness. So they can just go to PrettySisters.com and then subscribe, and there's no cost. Is that still correct?
Yes, that's true, yes.
Oh, and I'll tell you, they're great articles, and you'll get to know Rebecca and know her sisters and kind of get, it's like building a family, and it's a family that I think you'll really enjoy. I certainly look forward to receiving my Pretty Sisters and so forth. So again, RebeccaHensey.com or PrettySisters.com. Rebecca, thank you. It has been a pleasure. If any of you would like to re-listen to this show or download it to your iPod, go to my host page on contacttalkradio.com. You can click on the archive shows. You can download it. You can listen to this over and over again. Very important. One last thought, Rebecca. Anything that we can leave our listeners with?
Happy Mother's Day, and love yourself. Be grateful for all that you've been given and find the good in what you've done as a mother. I hope you have, this is a fabulous year for all of our listeners.
Oh, it is. It is. Well, light and love to you and light and love to all of the listeners. And I will be back next Wednesday, and I'll see you on the radio. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Carol Reitberger.
Have you you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Remember, you can podcast or download any or all of the shows right here on ContactTalkRadio.com by visiting each of your favorite hosts' page.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month, she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
You've been listening to The Carol Reitberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.